Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm sitting out here on my front porch. It's a beautiful day here in Texas. And I'm going to share with you some good stuff today. The fact is, I'm not going to share anything with you. The Holy Spirit is going to share it with you because this is not a show that is canned or planned. There's absolutely nothing that is added to this show except the spontaneous life of Christ in me speaking to the spontaneous life of Christ in you. And you're not going to find another show like this in Christian media because I don't talk about what most of the Christian shows are talking about. I talk about real life issues of people who are losing their homes and have lost their jobs and are struggling in all kinds of different ways and how they deal with that and still maintain a deep and abiding relationship with Christ as their life, not just a lifestyle. And today, there's a lot of people hurting because the economy is gone into the toilet, and people are losing their homes, people are losing jobs, and it's, you know, people are dealing with stuff they've never dealt with before. And so the status quo, everyday, performance-based, different gospel, when the fire is turned up, you find out that it doesn't work too well. Because what happens is you run to that different gospel and all you find is condemnation. Because either you're not doing enough of this or you're doing too much of that. And this whole ministry, Rich in Christ, is all about exposing that lie. That lie that started in Genesis chapter 3 with the serpent saying to Adam, if you do this, then you will become this. If you eat of the tree, then you'll be like God. And that like God lie has gone down through the ages right up to today into our modern day, and it's now a part of everyday church doctrine. And people believe it as being the truth. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, he said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so this is laying it on the line and putting it all out, open and laid bare, like it says in Hebrews chapter 4. For everything is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. And so this is, if you want to go deeper in the Lord than where you are right now today, and you want to have a real relationship with a real God, and not deal with religious dogma and rules and rituals, but all that in the same way as the law was put out there, all it's meant to do is bring you into condemnation. If you want to move beyond Paul's Romans 7 struggle of not knowing what to do, because it wasn't about what he was doing, it's about the fact that he didn't know there was another doer that was doing it. Philippians 2:13, it's God now doing in us. For it is God who is at work within us, both to will, he initiates it, the will is his will. There is no separate will. You don't have a will of God, and God has a will of his own. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, his will is your will. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, his desires are your desires. And it doesn't matter what the flesh throws up in front of you. That's just distraction. That's just the wind and the waves lapping at your feet, trying to cause you to look to the right or to the left. And Isaiah says that, you know, you'll be tempted to look to the right or the left, but fix your gaze ahead. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the reason that voice comes from behind us is because God has already taken care of everything back there. who's letting us know, I'm right here. I'm standing right behind you. I'm pointing you to the next step. My word, Jesus Christ, not the letter that kills, but my word is a lamp to your feet. He is shining out from inside of you. You're not holding the lamp out in front of you. He's shining out from inside of you, and he's providing just enough light to take the next step. That's called walking by faith, guys. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. And so today, there's people that I know that are struggling big time. They're dealing with debilitating illnesses. They're dealing with financial nightmares, relational nightmares. And I get every day in my private messages, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this? I had a brother the other day from the Netherlands say, Rich, talk about depression. How do you handle depression? Well, the simple fix for it is, and this may seem very simplistic, but you know, Jesus said that we come to him as children. So we're not coming to him as scholars. We're not coming to him as MIT graduates. We're coming to him as little children. And so what's the cure for handling depression? Don't handle it, because it's not yours. You were bought with a price. You were paid for in full. If you're walking in depression today, it's there for a reason. It's either that or God is a cruel and punishing taskmaster who's trying to do something to you because he's not finding you acceptable, and that's not the truth. I learned during a seven-year period from 1997 to 2004, when I walked away from God, deliberately walked away from God, and deliberately tried to out-sin the grace of God, that it's impossible because there's no measure to grace. And so my message and my preaching is not with wise and persuasive words of men, but with weakness and fear, with much trembling, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. What's the testimony of God? It's what he's done in my life over 34 years. Because I don't see any separation. Christ in me, as me, is me. And that's the truth. And Christ will always be Christ, and I will always be me. Let the two become one. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's not just a marriage vow for an earthly marriage. That's a covenant relationship that God ordained before the foundation of the world. Because the Bible says that his son was slain from the foundation of the world. The crucifixion is not a historical event. It's not like the event that's coming up called the rapture, or the event coming up called the second coming, or the event of the last days ministry, where everybody's trying to figure out when this second coming and this rapture is going to happen so they can have the great escape plan. It's not that. That's for babies. That's for infants. Infants only think about themselves. Infants are only concerned about escaping the trials and the tribulations of this Christian life. Real men and women who want everything God has for them are willingly walking into the furnace. And not only that, but that furnace is turned up seven times. So when the people who are throwing you into the furnace, when they perish and you're still sitting there in the middle of the fire, and you also, like the three Hebrew children, see one like the Son of God standing in your midst, then you know you're walking in mature adult Christianity. And anything else is a lie. Even if it looks and tastes and smells exactly like the truth, if it is omitting the message of the cross and the losing to gain, it's no longer I who live. I count all things as loss, bearing in my body the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so his life is manifest. Death worketh in us, so life is in you. If that message is not weaved in through the message that you're listening to today, what's my advice to you? Run from it as fast as your feet can carry you. Because all you're learning is how to stay, all you're learning is how to continue to feed on milk. Because the meat doesn't come until you say the same thing that Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Christ in me, as me, is me. That's the bottom line. There is no separation. There is no division. There is no God up there. There is no looking to a God down the road. There is no divided wall of hostility. There is no dark glass. All of that is gone, folks. As long as you see with the same single eye Christ as your only hope in life. There's no other way. He is the way. He doesn't come with a way. He is the way. And so what about your depression? Your depression is a gift from God given to you so that you will come to complete and total weakness. And in your absolute, total, and weakened state, you will cry out to the God of all grace, and he will hear you, and he will meet you exactly where you're at. Why is your poverty there? Because your poverty is to bring you to weakness. So when you can't pay your house payment, and there's nothing left, when you've burned all your bridges, and all there is only God, only now, you'll cry out to that God, and that God will come in and reveal himself to you as the God of all grace who provides for all of your needs in spite of anything else that's going on circumstantially. And why is that illness there? Because that illness is there for one reason, to bring you to complete and total weakness. So that in your weakened state, you cry out to God. When you understand that the weakness is not the focus. God brings you past the weakness to where you see that there's only one way his power can be manifested, and that's as you embrace your weakness, as you boast in your weakness. Paul said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the things that pertain to weakness. That's a far cry from the different gospel message that you're hearing on the average street corner church every Sunday. Because like it or not, the pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and apostle of today has been indoctrinated by the different gospel through their seminaries, their mausoleums of death, and then they learn about the performance-based lie, and they pass the performance-based lie on to the people. And because they sit there in some form of leadership, because the culture, the Christian culture, has proclaimed them as leaders, God hasn't. God doesn't give up. God doesn't care if you have a PhD or an MBA or any other degree. I have 4 college degrees. I've never done anything with them. God never opened the door for me to do anything with them. He kept me absolutely, completely dependent on him as my life. All the way through my screaming, kicking, cussing, fussing, fighting him, all the way to bring me to the desire of my heart, which is to write, which is to share, which is to speak, which is to preach. With anybody who will listen to anything that I have to say. And I know there aren't many people listening to this radio program. And that's okay, because God has ordained whoever is listening to be here to hear this truth, that you are perfect in him. And there's not one thing that you can do to change your life except yield to him exactly as you are in your weakness, no matter what that weakness is right here and now, because that weakness is the broken perfume over Jesus' feet. That weakness is what God has invested in you over time. It's that perfume that costs you everything that you're breaking over his feet. And it's causing the aroma to go throughout the place, even if religion doesn't like it. Because when Mary Magdalene got up from crying over Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair, and she was smelling of what prostitutes smell mixed with that perfume, Jesus said of her, what this woman has done will be known for all time. Will you let me know the name of one of those religious leaders in that meeting? Who was one of those religious leaders in that meeting? Do you know why? Because none of them matter. Because they didn't see the living Christ standing before them. That woman who had spent a year earning that perfume, doing what prostitutes do, was the only one that saw. And Jesus said, she'll be known forever. So what weakness are you dealing with today? What weakness have you hated your whole life and ignored and tried to cure because the status quo has told you that it's not supposed to be there? You're supposed to pull yourself up by your bootstraps with the help of God, of course, because you call on this separated God and he comes to you and helps you and he distributes his attributes like crack cocaine to a crackhead. That's exactly what he does. He comes and he distributes patience and love and peace and hope and kindness and meekness. He distributes all those things separate from himself. No. Christ in you as you is you. And you have everything pertaining to life and godliness at your fingertips by the faith of the Son of God who is living in you and is willing and doing and living and moving and having his being right here and right now in the middle of everything you're going through. I know that for a fact. I've experienced for 34 years, ever since I asked God to take me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who he is in Christ. And I really don't care anymore what the opinions of men say. I really don't care anymore what the religion is saying, because I know who I have believed that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. And that day is not the sweet by and by, some day out there in the future, some Christian event. That day is the only day. That day is today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't be like they were in the wilderness and harden your heart, but yield to the faith of the Son of God who is right now wanting to take up your cause. But as long as you have your hands grasped around it, he can't touch it. The Holy Spirit is the worker. He is at work. So if you're working and striving and stressing and worrying and thinking through your Christian life, then the Holy Spirit is sitting there and letting you wear down until you're ready to enter into his rest. And the day, the second, the minute, the millisecond you enter into his rest, he is there to take up your cause. And you are not going to see it with your eyes. You're going to believe it in fear and trembling as God begins to unveil the truth of who he is, who you are in him. There's no other Christianity. The Christianity that says you have to do something for God to get something from him. The Christianity there that's out there with the wolves who are the manipulating liars, even if they don't know they are, the manipulating liars who bring a message, a dead letter, regurgitated, canned, and planned message that has no power, a form of godliness with no power, when they bring that to you and then they charge you for it in the form of a tithe because they don't know themselves what it is to get on their face before God and to have him bring them to the place where they see only God, only now, in all things. They don't even know where to begin. And if God was to touch what's at the center of their life, they would implode. No other word. They would implode. This is real life with Rich in Christ. And this is real life stuff for real life folks who are dealing with real life problems and real life issues. When they've tried the status quo and it doesn't work. And they've come close to suicide because they've tried the status quo and they're walking under such condemnation that they believe that there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. They were created exactly as they are, in weakness, as God's absolute negative. God's absolute negative has to have an absolute positive, or his positive has to have a negative in order for power to be made manifest. And you don't get power when you have a false positive and a positive. And you don't get power when you have a negative and a negative. The only way power is created is through the positive-negative relationship. Well, today, I'm here to tell you, you are God's absolute negative, and begin to rejoice in it. Begin to boast in it. Begin to talk to God about it and thank him for it. And not only that, thank everybody and begin to talk to everybody around you and share that same thing. I am God's absolute negative. He is the absolute positive. And without that relationship, there is no power. All there is empty-headed, dead-letter, performance-based BS that doesn't change anybody or anything, and it never will because it was never meant to. It's the lie. It's the angel of light masquerading. You think Satan's going to come with a pitchfork and horns? Or do you think he's going to come in a charismatic personality carrying a Bible with a mega ministry with 100 million people following him? Which one do you think is going to be more deceptive? Which one do you think is going to draw more people in to the different gospel lie? And where Paul called it a perversion of the gospel, and then over in Galatians 1:6-8, he says it's no gospel at all. But if you're walking as an infant and you're still drinking milk, this is all as foreign to you as trying to go into a foreign country and speak the language without knowing it, or listen to the language without knowing it. This is spirit. This is not the mind set on the flesh, which is death. This is the mind set on the spirit, which is life and peace. And I don't set my mind on the spirit. God has already set my mind on the spirit. I can do nothing apart from him. And so your depression and your misery and your broken relationship and your poverty and whatever else you're dealing with that you have been told to ignore and even abhor, that's your only asset. You have no other assets. Embracing that. Jesus could have called while he was on the cross and 10,000 legions of angels would have rescued him off that cross and he would have been sitting there without a wound on his body. But it was expedient for him to lay down his life. That's what he came for. That's our purpose. When we cut through all the performance-based Jesus for me crap, we find out that we are the container of Christ. We're the temple, the vessel, the branch, the lamp. He is the light. We are the lamp. He is the life of the vine and the branch. We are the branch. He is what's contained in the vessel. We are the vessel. He is the God of the temple. We are the temple. And the outward appearance of any of it doesn't make a difference to God. He is not one bit interested in your unchristian behavior of poor performance. And in fact, he's waiting to manifest himself right there. Right there. When you're striving to be like Jesus, which is no different than the lie that came out of Genesis 3 that said you will be like God. It's the same exact lie packaged in something different, that's all. I have a 31-day deeper life devotional. And God wrote it. I put it down on paper, but God wrote it. And it's all about what I'm talking about. For those who desire to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And if you private message me on Facebook, Rich Novak, N-O-V-E-K, I will send you a copy of that book, free and postage paid, to anywhere on the planet. I also life coach for free, counsel for free. I speak anywhere on the planet for free as long as you can get me there and back. We listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9:18. This gospel is free of charge, and we don't take advantage of the preacher's benefits. We are here, and our only benefit is that we have been chosen to proclaim this message of freedom to the people of God who are in bondage. That is our reward. We have no other desire. There is no other motivation. We're never going to ask anybody for a nickel. God provides as he chooses. We know him as our provision. And we watch him provide every day in our weakness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for this time. I just ask, God, that if someone's listening to this today, Lord, who's been questioning themselves and questioning you, God, that Philippians 3, 15 and 16 will just come to light right now, all of us who are mature, to take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Let them know right there that all you can do is do what you're doing today and wait on God to do the next thing. Live condemnation free and know that God will bring the clarity to you when you're ready to receive the clarity. That passage in Philippians 3, 15 and 16 changed my life about 12 years ago. It took me from performance-based Christianity. It's for freedom he made me free. Galatians. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm broadcasting every Wednesday for 30 minutes. And I'll be here again next week to share some more spontaneous life message. And until then, God bless.